This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
ESPN's Buster Olney joins us every single Thursday at 6:30, presented by Ernest McCarty Ford in Alabaster. Hello, Buster. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Not a whole heck of a lot. What a night for the Yankees last night. Giancarlo Stanton, we were just talking about it. The guy's been with them, a couple months, and finally has a moment that would make a highlight reel, that would be like his signature moment.
Yeah, and it feels like that as each day goes by, he relaxes a little bit more and more. And I live in the New York area, and predictably, there are a lot of columns today saying, well, Giancarlo Stanton is finally a Yankee, okay? And you guys know, and I know, that if he goes 0-for-12 in his first three postseason games this year, he will no longer be a Yankee, according to the media. But I do think he's settling in, and it's. I was looking at it this morning. You know, when I talk about on pace numbers on Twitter, sometimes I think people think that I'm saying that these guys are definitely going to reach these numbers at the end of the year. I only like to look at it for context about how someone's playing. And while Stanton has really struggled early this year, right now he's on pace to finish the season with 41 homers, 70 extra base hits, 100 runs, and 96 RBI. So it's not like he's been absolutely god-awful, and as time goes on, it feels like he's getting better.
A weird generic question 70 games into the season, but if I had to ask you who your world champion would be right now, I assume you go American League between three teams, but what direction would you go?
Yeah, there's no question about it. Now, before the season, full disclosure, I picked the Cleveland Indians, and I still feel really good about that logic because they have the easiest path to the postseason. Unlike the Yankees and the Red Sox, who could both finish, presumably are going to have great regular seasons and might wind up playing a one-game playoff and get knocked out, where the Cleveland Indians, on the other hand, because they get the feast on the likes of the Chicago White Sox, they're going to roll into the postseason. And in short series with Corey Kluber and, Carlos Carrasco and Trevor Bauer, they would have a shot against any team. But if you're asking me which of the three teams at the top of the American League standings right now are the best teams, I think you got to say the Astros. The way they're putting up runs, their run differential, their lineup is coming together, and that starting pitching. And on top of that, I do think that they will add some sort of a bullpen piece before we get to July 31st.
The Astros only one game off their pace last year, and I watched last night. And I'm really, the way Verlander's pitching and the rest of that starting rotation, would you say their strength is more starting pitching, or is it their offense, or is it their defense in the field? Because at third, second, and short, they play really good defense, too.
Excellent defense. And, yeah, their lineup is good. But, let's face it. I think the last time we had the Astros on Sunday Night Baseball, A.J. Hinch talked about the number of strikeouts that they've had this year has been a surprise. They've had inconsistency in the bottom half of that lineup. And as I say, I think that'll get better as the season goes along. But from the beginning of this season all the way to the end, their strength is going to be that starting pitching. I can't remember who said this to me recently. It was a player who said, hey, when you have a situation where Dallas Keuchel, former American League Cy Young Award winner, might be your weak link in the rotation, that's pretty good. But the way that Gerrit Cole is throwing and Justin Verlander and Lance McCullers, Charlie Morton, it's a great group. And whether it's the Red Sox or the Yankees or the Cleveland Indians, you're going to have to fight your way through that in the postseason. That's pretty daunting.
Only in baseball can you run across some of these strange numbers, but Jose Altuve, your reigning American League MVP, I read this morning, over the last two seasons, I'm sure you know this, and I've never seen this before, he's hitting .304 at home and .386 on the road. How do you explain that?
First off, he's a great guy, and he also is someone, according to his teammates, who frets and frets and frets. The last time I saw him in person, he was sitting in front. I literally walk into the Astros clubhouse, and he's sitting in front of his locker, and he's leaned forward with his elbows on his knees, and you can tell he's just pondering something. And I'm like, hey, Jose, how you doing? And immediately he launches into a thing about how he's not hitting home runs. And I suspect that, he's well aware of those numbers you just laid out, and it probably gets into his head a little bit. Here's the good thing. In a bad year, he's going to roll out 200 hits, which is why last October, Josh Reddick and George Springer both said to me, I hate Jose Altuve because they say that he frets so much, and yet he manages to throw out so many hits even when he's in a slump.
ESPN's Buster Olney, presented by Ernest McCarty Ford, right now through July 9. Get $1,000 appreciation cash for all military, including veterans and first responders, at Ernest McCarty Ford, just off Highway 31 in Alabaster. How many closers is too much? My team has like 15 of them now after their Herrera trade.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in the past, the last couple of guys they've added, Jonathan Papelbon, Mark Melanson to be the closer. I mean, you know this better than anybody. It was a big deal. Like, it was a problem.
Yeah.
It was a chemistry issue in that clubhouse. You know, Papelbon, it felt like Drew Storen fell off the face of the baseball earth after they got Papelbon because clearly he wasn't happy about the demotion. And you remember the same ripples when they got Melanson. Here's the great thing about this deal right now. Given the personalities of the guys in the bullpen, it doesn't matter this time. Like, Sean Doolittle is as good a person and as generous a person as you're going to meet. And when he was told about the trade, and he's going to remain the closer, but there's a chance, of course, that they could switch him out of the role occasionally, he's met it with a giant shrug of the shoulder. Great, we get another great pitcher, which is the reaction you'd love to get. And, you know, Ryan Madsen certainly is the same way. Brandon Kinstler, when he's healthy, that's his personality. This is a smart move, adding him now. And the wide consensus around baseball is they made a great trade and a lot of head-scratching that the Royals didn't get more for Herrera.
Baseball is unlike any other sport because it ties its history to certain mile markers in careers. And we're at one for a couple of superstars, Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, as they hit 1,000 games.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look, they're obviously having very different seasons. This is the best of Mike Trout we've ever seen, and this is the worst of Bryce Harper that we've ever seen. And Bryce Harper seems like right now he's a complete mess at the plate, hitting 209. And on the other hand, Mike Trout is 26 years old, and I was looking at it this morning, guys. You know, there's a, I like the stat, wins above replacement WAR. And if you look at what he's accomplished, and again, he's 26 years old, he's already passed a group of Hall of Famers in career WAR because he's so dominant a player. He's passed Yogi Berra, Vladimir Guerrero, who's going to be inducted to the Hall of Fame later this summer, Willie McCovey, Dave Winfield, Jackie Robinson, Harmon Killebrew in career WAR, and he's going to play probably another 10, 14 seasons, which is why at the end of his career, we're going to talk about him as an Inner Circle Hall of Famer with Babe Ruth, with Henry Aaron, with Willie Mays.
So Clayton Kershaw has been on the DL since May 31st. He's going to make a rehab start for AAA Oklahoma City on Saturday. What is our expectation for Kershaw coming back?
It's the first time where it feels like everyone doesn't know exactly what's going to happen. Look, he and the Dodgers have not been completely transparent about his medical situation, which is his prerogative. If he doesn't want us to know, that's fine. Our Stefania Bell, who's an injury expert, physical therapist, has talked about so much of the information that's out there indicates that he's got a disc problem in his back, and you guys know this. That doesn't get better, especially when you're talking about a pitcher, you know, 230 pounds, who repeats the same delivery. He's probably got issues in his hip as well, from what I hear around the edges. And, you know, if you're the Dodgers at this point, you're crossing your fingers hoping that he's going to be okay. He is as diligent a person as I met in baseball. I'm sure he was doing all the rehab work, and yet the last time he was out there, he couldn't last, and he was throwing 86 to 90 miles per hour. So the Dodgers really don't know what they're going to get out of Kershaw going forward.
ESPN's Buster Olney, presented each week by Ernest McCarty Ford. You tell me the DH is inevitable in the National League, that the long-standing tradition of pitchers that can rake, is that those days are numbered?
They are absolutely numbered. And look, I'm a traditionalist, grew up a Dodger fan, and love the National League rules. I prefer them. I like all the strategy, but there's no doubt that the National League rules are essentially dead men walking at this point. And the reason for that is the same as the reason why we got a change in the home plate collision rules. It comes down to money, where the front offices are evaluating the players as assets, and increasingly a question that's being asked in baseball is, why would we put our most valuable assets, the pitchers, at risk doing something that they're not accustomed to doing, especially American League pitchers? You know, a couple weeks ago you saw Masahiro Tanaka strain both of his hamstrings running the bases. And the feeling around baseball is, look, these plays with pitchers batting, these are outliers. They're not necessary to the game. And on top of that, they've been talking about ways to help hitters. And this is why I would not be surprised in the next 3 to 5 years you see a DH in both the National League and the American League.
He is ESPN's Buster Olney. You can see them Sunday night, 7 o'clock, Phillies at the Nationals. Everyone will tune in for that one, Buster. Phillies at the Nationals, Sunday night, 7 o'clock. Enjoy your time in D.C. It's always great talking with you.
No, it's great talking with you guys, too. I can't wait.
All right, see you next week.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up, looks long, has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.